Hey everybody, it's George from Gaming My Whole Life. Today we have Jamil with us. Jamil, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, George. I'm looking forward to talking about some more games today, but yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, buddy. Thanks for asking. And you're right, I'm once again looking forward to today because we're still fresh off E3. Last time we discussed Devil May Cry 5 and Resident Evil 2, so both games by Capcom. And today we're following a bit of a similar tradition, and that is we're discussing two separate titles, also developed by the same team. And the team we're talking about is Avalanche Studios, who is famously most well known for their Just Cause games, so the Just Cause series. And they had two games for show at E3. They actually had more than two, but we're focusing on two. In this case, it is the sequel to Rage, Rage 2, and yet another, and you can never have too many of these, Just Cause game, Just Cause 4. So I thought we'd start with Rage 2 and give our opinions on this. It's rather interesting delight. I will start things off just by giving people a really brief history lesson just on what Rage 1 was about, so then we can appreciate just how different Rage 2 is and the possibilities that may result. So to sum things up really quickly, Rage 1 was a John Carmack project, and if that name sounds familiar, that's because he is the legendary programmer behind Doom and id Software. So one way or another, even if you're not a first-person shooter fan, you've heard of this man and his work. And Rage was, it was a big deal when he first released. It didn't have the biggest story, and it had its own issues, but overall, it was a great game. It was a technical marvel. It really pushed things. And yeah, that was quite a while ago. So a sequel to Rage was very unexpected, and more so that John Carmack actually isn't with id Software anymore. He moved on a number of years ago so he could pursue his latest interest, and that's in the VR space. So and the team behind Rage 1 aren't actually developing Rage 2. It's Avalanche Studios, the Just Cause creators. Now, Jamil, we've seen the game trailers, read some previews on it to get our heads around what is Rage 2. And Rage 1 was a very dark, grim, I wouldn't say there was a lot of color in the first game.
Mm.
And Rage 2 seems to be just an absolute explosion of confetti, like just color everywhere and possibilities everywhere. And a crazy studio like Avalanche, yeah, a crazy team like Avalanche Studios seems perfect for it. What's your impression, Jamil, of what you've seen with Rage 2? Now, covering the basics, I just realized, just in case you've never heard of Rage, just think of a first-person shooter, post-apocalyptic and all that, with some RPG elements. Not a lot. Very violent, very gritty, very real, but quite simple. So, like, the Doom games, you didn't really need to know what was going on with the story. Didn't really need to even think that much, to be frank.
Mm.
You went around, you shot things, it was good fun. It was very old school.
Yes.
All right. The groundwork has been laid. Jamil, what are your thoughts on Rage 2? Or just point out some bits you thought were cool, quite frankly.
Okay. So, very quickly, I want to touch on the fact that the game is very colourful. It's very vibrant. That's probably the first thing I would say about this game. Straight away, it is telling you two things. The gritty and grim storyline is still there, but mm-hmm. we're also listening to the fact that, hey, not everything has to be grim and dark and shadowy. This game is like the trailer first way, but just tells you straight away, there is going to be color in this game. This place is going to be pretty to look at, and there's going to be, you know, crazy gangsters with mohawks and spray painting everything, and who dye their hair incredibly well for a post-apocalyptic setting, and have great hairdressers and don't have to deal with any kind of regrowth. So it is, do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Mass Effect Andromeda. Like,
Really? That's an interesting comparison.
Yeah, so like all of the abilities you can use, the RPG elements that you mentioned, there's a lot of cool physics tricks that you can pull, same as in Andromeda and the other Mass Effect games. You know, you can throw grenades and, you know, like stick people to the roof and shoot them, or you can throw them at walls, you can slide down and, like, you know, shoot up at them so they go flying. So there's all kinds of little things that make this game not only really enjoyable, but also, but it looks like it's going to be a really high octane action-packed scenario, where one of the things I feel like they were trying to get across to you was that this game is going to be very responsive. It's going to be responsive to not only how you move the mouse and how you click, or if you use the controller, but also it's going to be responsive to your imagination and how you want to do things. You know, you can run and gun, or you can, you know, dart in and out and use your abilities and your items and grenades and stuff like that. You know, there's vehicular combat and all kinds of neat little things. It looks like they've also got in store for us there too. And you know what? It's kind of Mad Max. You know what I mean? It's kind of Fury Road, which I like.
It does. It does definitely have a Mad Max vibe. And yeah, you're right. It does look like the sort of game which you can approach it how you see fit. The end result will be, you know, a lot of bad guys dead, whatever. Mm. But it does seem like you can enjoy the journey just as much as the end result.
Mm.
So it's like, yeah, you're going to go in there and you're going to blast some things. But you know what? It's going to look cool. It's going to feel cool. It's going to be responsive. And yeah, it's going to be quite colourful. And just one thing which I realised, I had a quick look, because in the back of my mind I thought, the first Rage, that came out quite a while ago, didn't it? And November 2010 is when the first game came out. So, you know, we can be forgiven for being shocked that there even was a Rage 2. You know, normally a developer doesn't wait 8 years before a sequel comes out. Doesn't mean it hasn't been done. Because it has, but it's rare. So yeah, it's nice to see Bethesda back this up. And I want to discuss the actual studio they put behind it. Firstly, I was shocked that they chose Avalanche Studios. That's what, for me personally, combined with just how exciting it looks, is what's caught my attention. Like, if it was just a direct sequel to Rage 2 and it still had the serious vibe and they tried to do more of the same, I wouldn't have been as interested, to be honest, because I enjoyed Rage. I enjoyed it for what it was. I didn't love it. You know, like if I was to give it a rating out of 10, it would probably be a 6. It was good, right. But for me, that was it. But knowing that the people that the creators behind Just Cause and the madness and flexibility and just insanity that those developers are known for, knowing those guys are the ones behind Rage, just lets the imagination just run wild. Because yeah, anyone who has played Just Cause, and you know, we'll get into that in a moment, but if you have, you know it's insane. You know you're going to be combining things together which normally you wouldn't, and if they're behind a project, it isn't just what the genre defines it. So yeah, it's a first-person shooter. Is it going to just be a typical first-person shooter? No. And that's just because we know who's making it, you know? And they're even using the engine that they're familiar with for Rage 2. They're not reusing the id engine. They're not using the Doom engine, which that itself I found an interesting choice, because Doom 2016, that game looks and runs amazing. Like, it's obviously brilliant, but must not have been well suited to the wackiness which Avalanche Studios wanted to bring. So yeah, I think we'll both keep an eye out on this title. It looks fun, you know, and like you said, there's cars, it looks like Mad Max but more interesting. And I don't mean that as a dig for those who have enjoyed the Mad Max games. Like, I know they're solid in their own right. But for me, I'd look at them and be like, the sand bores me. Like, I know it's a horrible way to just sum up the whole series. That's obviously way better than that.
Mm.
But but this looks like a Mad Max that I can get behind. Now, let's get to Just Cause 4. I have to talk about it because out of the two games, Just Cause 4 looks at least the most extreme. And let's lay the fun, beautiful groundwork for what Just Cause is, because Just Cause is a fun game to describe for anyone who hasn't seen any videos of it,
mm-hmm.
or anyone who hasn't played it. And what's special about Just Cause is, firstly, let's compare it to another title you're familiar with. Let's think of Watch Dogs. Let's think of Grand Theft Auto. Let's think of any, you know, open world game where you can run around, you can shoot people, you can steal cars, you can drive around, you can, you know, you can just cause chaos. You can destroy whatever form of law enforcement there is and watch the bigger law enforcement come and then blow them up until you get bored and that's it. What Avalanche Studios did, my experience with Just Cause jumped on the boat really late. Like, there's a Just Cause 1, there's a Just Cause 2. I didn't jump on until 3. Now, when I jumped on it, and I first started playing it, I thought, all right, you're playing a European-looking bloke. He has the beardiness on his face, a bit of chest hair. He has his, it's not a Hawaiian shirt, but I'm going to call it a Hawaiian shirt anyway. just because apparently my vocabulary ends there. And you run around, you cause your ruckus, whatever. You're on a big, beautiful island, things blow up, boom. Okay. How it stands out from the competition and why this makes me excited for Just Cause 4 and why it makes me even more excited that these same wacky people are doing Rage 2 is, imagine playing GTA and you're running down, you're thinking, right, how can I mess with my environment? How can I mess with the traffic? How can I mess with the people? You're actually pretty limited in those games. You can either go and pick a fist fight with a random person on the street for no reason, or you can steal a car and run everyone over, or you can shoot everyone. Like, you basically have like three things that you can do. The Just Cause developers, they had a really good cup of coffee before they started designing things, because they have two things and it's unlimited. One, there's this grappling hook. So think of Batman, think of ninjas, think of Tenchu if you're old enough.
Tenchu!
Go Tenchu! So you have your grappling hook and, you know, you can shoot it to things and draw it in, whatever. But what's fun about the grappling hook is you shoot one end, say you shoot it at a light pole, an electricity pole or anything, right? So then that's the base. And then you aim elsewhere and you shoot where the other end of that grappling hook goes. So then you have this really strong wire that can connect to anything and it can act like a fishing reel. And depending on how twisted you are, you can do some really messed up things. So you can do some basic things like, yep, you shoot one end of the hook shot to the pole and the other end you get a car. A car's going by, you hook it, you see it burning its tires, it's not going anywhere, you're feeling powered. And then to be an even bigger, not so nice person, you reel it in and then all of a sudden you have a car hanging upside down like it's a fish from the light post. And you're thinking, okay, what else can I connect this to? And then you find yourself, you know, attaching one end to a car as it's driving by and the other end to a poor pedestrian. And then you see a car driving down the road dragging a poor pedestrian behind it. Or, like, that's what I mean. Whatever stupidity you could come up with, this game encouraged you. You know, you could connect cars together. I remember I did this really stupid thing where I connected one end of the hook to the side of a bridge, and then I'd connect the other side to a car and then flip it over the bridge and have it just hang there for no reason, and then attach a pedestrian to the car. Like, just whatever stupid combinations I could come up with. And, you know, this physics applied to the whole world. So you just run around, you're like, right, what can I connect to what? Or you can do like a choking wire for no reason. Like, you have two trees on either side, very old school. It's like, oh, I'll just put a wire from one end to the other and then see cars try to drive past and get caught in it. You know, you just giggle to yourself and you run away. The other part of Just Cause, and naturally, all these features would cross over to Just Cause 4. The other fun feature, and as unrealistic as it was, is you had unlimited parachutes. So you could jump off any cliff, any building, and, you know, a parachute will come out, and, you know, you glide to the bottom. You're thinking, okay, cool. What's so special about that? Well, things get interesting when you combine the parachute with the grappling hook. And before you know it, all of a sudden, you are a really lazy version of Spider-Man. Because you were going around the buildings with your parachute out, using the grappling hook to swing yourself around, and just seeing what other mischief you can combine. And so that should paint a bit of an idea of just what sort of wackiness you can get. Now, how do you top something like that? How do you top an open sandbox like that, where you can just be the biggest meanie ever, you can just cause chaos and love it? Well, apparently Avalanche's one of their many answers is to play with the weather. Yeah. And by weather, I mean they have tornadoes. So we will, in the near future, whenever it comes out, be figuring out how to create our chaos and get it all sucked into a tornado. And these aren't scripted events. There's different weather things that will just break out of nowhere. So you can be in the middle of a mission and then you see a tornado approaching and you're like, how can I take advantage of that? And the tornado will literally rip things apart. So if something gets sucked in it, it will be broken up into bits and pieces, and then those bits and pieces will be thrown everywhere, splattered, and it just seems like a wonderful toy house, you know? Go in, cause a ruckus. The one complaint I will say about the Just Cause series is one area which I've always felt they fell short, and I'm hoping they can address with Just Cause 4. And that is, well, you can do whatever you want in the open world, and that's a lot of fun. The actual story was never really that gripping.
Yeah.
There wasn't, like, once you were done causing chaos, there wasn't an intriguing story to hold your interest, or I need to find out what happens to this guy or that girl. It was just, you just hit a wall once you got tired messing things up. So,
and that's one of those things where I was like, probably for both games, where I was looking at them going, well, where's the hook here? You know what I mean? Like, in Rage 2, it looks as though there is going to be a lot of people, you know, you have to fight, you know, the mutants and the guys with the mohawks and all of that. And so it's very obvious what you're going to be doing in that game. You know, you've got this vague overarching mission of stop the bad guys kind of thing. But in the Just Cause 2 trailer that they showed at E3, it was very much about like a sales pitch. We've got new cars and new graphics and new this and new that and tornadoes and dust storms and stuff and things. And I was like sort of sitting there going like, okay, you've got this great new engine and like it's phenomenal looking. And the stuff that engine can do is insane. Like it looks absolutely schmick and like it's like a gleaming example of what gaming companies can do with, you know, physics engines and all of that, and it's all top of the line, you know. And the fact that they actually said that in the trailer made me laugh, because I was waiting for someone to go, but wait, there's more. And you know, if you buy this game and click this button, you get a free toaster kind of thing. It really makes me wonder if you're going to play the game for 2 weeks and, like, you know, spend like $100, $120 if you're in Australia, or like $80 or if you're in America, or $60, however much AAA titles cost over there. And, you know, you do your 2 weeks and then it's just like, there's only so many Spider-Man swings and little tricks I can play with this grappling hook and tornadoes that I can sort of float around before it becomes a bit old hat. And if I was going to spend my money on one of these games, I'd buy Rage 2, because I can tell what the game is going to be about and what I'm going to do in the game, You know what I mean? It at least suggests, mm-hmm. like, you know, 40, 50 hours of gameplay, or, you know, like, you know, 30 on some sort of cohesive enough story that I get invested in some characters, and then 20 more running around, shooting random people, and, like, taking side quests and stuff like that. And because, you know, when you're playing, when you see the demo for Rage 2, there's at least two or three different game styles that I can see, you know, run and gun, use the abilities, or, like, focus on grenades, or trick shots and stuff like that. So yeah, there's obvious replayability there. It Just Cause looks like a roller coaster ride, but the problem is that, you know, there's a reason why roller coasters only go for like 3 minutes, otherwise your brain would explode. So it that's where that trailer, even though it looked phenomenal, I was sort of looking at it afterwards going, you know, I'm not quite sure they really told us what the game is going to be like. I mean, you get the hint that there's going to be some epic story or something, and the character's going to be invested in a big way, but they didn't show me how. You know what I mean?
No, it was a very focused, fancy tech demo.
Yeah.
Like, here's all the cool things we can do, and I think that, as you said, you know, they knocked it out of the park. They did a great job with that. I'm hoping very soon, and definitely before the game actually releases, the next set of things they start showing off is how they can make all that matter. Because you don't want that roller coaster ride to go to waste. You want a story around it. You want to be invested. And yeah, because the wow factor of things can get old very quickly. That's what I experienced with Just Cause 3. And it really upset me because, on one hand, I was just so impressed by what it could do and the technical achievements. And on the other hand, I got bored of raiding the same places all the time, and the story wasn't gripping me either. And I'm like, that's a shame. Like, this has a lot more options than, say, GTA 5 did. Mm. But story-wise, GTA 5 walked all over it. And it was like, they clearly like their wackiness, but I wish they took their main character and the story seriously enough. I have a feeling that they're going to at least try to do better with Just Cause 4, story-wise. Whether or not it's successful, we'll have to wait until it comes out. But I feel we've reached such a pinnacle age of such intensive graphics and showcasing this and that, and there's just so much more money invested that I don't think they can afford to ignore storyline anymore. Like, I think they have to focus on every single aspect possible.
Oh, please God, let them please do that. Oh God.
I would love to get invested in that world. And like, yeah, we'll get distracted and be halfway through a mission and be like, I haven't put my grappling hook on that airplane before while it goes by this building. Can it rip a building off? Let's find out. Like, yes, I want that distraction. But when I'm done doing that, when I'm done creating the biggest explosion possible and making the game purposely crash because I've managed to come up with things you shouldn't have done in the first place, then I want to go, all right, let's continue with the story. But if at the end of the chaos, that's it, well, then it's going to fall a bit flat. It'll be that one-trick pony where when I'm in the mood to create chaos or show the game off to my friends, I'll do it. But if there's nothing to draw me back after...
Yeah. Do you know what? My immediate thought after watching the Just Cause trailer was, if I had a choice between, say, if I bought the game and played it, and if I had a choice between starting Just Cause 4 or starting Witcher 3, I'd just play Witcher 3 because it's an open world game. I already know what I'm gonna get. I know I'm going to get like super invested in it already, so it's just one of those things where it's like, I've got world's best industry leading standard, which 3 years later I think it is, still looks phenomenal, still plays phenomenal.
It does hold up.
Yeah,
very well.
Like, is this are either of these games going to hold up? I suspect that Rage 2 is going to hold up. Like, if I spent that money to buy it, I reckon that it would hold up just fine. Yeah, and I wouldn't consider that wasted money. I'm not convinced about Just Cause yet. So that's going to be interesting to find out.
Yeah, it is. It is a wild fish. It can go either way. I'm feeling optimistic just because it looks so darn fun. And I can't imagine Avalanche Studios focusing so much time and money and development into something and just not at any stage saying, hey, maybe we should tie this in with a good story.
Well, the weird part about that is when you watch the Rage 2 trailer, you can tell that they've made, you know, they've made efforts to address the criticisms of the first game within like the first 20 seconds of the trailer.
It does set itself apart, like, immediately, you're right.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, it's a lot of show, and a lot of the Just Cause trailer is just tell. There's literally a guy telling you stuff. The difference between those trailers is, like, the Rage 2 trailer speaks for itself. The Just Cause trailer apparently can't stand on its own merits, apparently, because, you know, either Avalanche or Square Enix, who is publishing the game, doesn't trust us to figure it out? Does it, like...
Yeah, so, Jamil, these two titles do look pretty interesting. Before we do close off today's episode, is there anything else you wanted to discuss today?
Okay, I have an unpopular opinion to tell you, and I want to get your opinion on this, and I want to talk about the Fortnite controversy regarding Sony not allowing crossplay between platforms. So PlayStation, you can't, the PlayStation audience can only play within themselves. They can't crossplay with PC, Switch, or the Xbox.
So crossplay is if you have a PlayStation 4 and you're playing Fortnite, you can only play against other Fortnite players who have a PlayStation 4.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But on other platforms, so if you have a Switch, you can play against other Switch owners, also Xbox One owners, and also mobile. So Sony's the only one not playing. Do I have that picture down correct?
Yeah, so Sony's the only one not playing ball with everyone else. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, here is my unpopular opinion. First of all, I do think what Sony is doing is crap, but I understand it, and I actually agree with them. Okay? Because at the end of the day, Sony is a business. They have to look after not only their bottom line, but also their consumers. So people who game Sony need to be looked after by Sony. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's be real about something. Sony made Fortnite big. Fortnite didn't make Sony big. Okay? Like, let's be real about that. The PlayStation made Fortnite big, not the other way around.
Well, Fortnite was already large, but yeah, the PlayStation console is the lead-in version of Fortnite.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it has the largest user base, like 70 million or something, PS4 owners.
I mean, you know, Fortnite was big, but Sony turned it into a giant. End of story.
Oh, yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
And this isn't me being, like, a Sony fanboy. I don't even own a PlayStation 4 of my own, but the it's just numbers and reality. Okay, so when you play, okay, versus I was talking to a friend of mine at work who has a Switch and plays Fortnite on the Switch. That means he's a relatively new player to Fortnite, okay, because Fortnite hasn't been out on the Switch for very long.
It just came out during E3 actually.
Yeah. So when you play on the Switch versus non-Switch players, in particular PC, you have a disadvantage because anyone with a keyboard and a mouse has a significant advantage against you, okay?
Oh, absolutely. Control-wise, no console can compete to the mouse as far as a first-person shooter goes.
Yeah, it is a complete unfair advantage. Now, if you're Sony and you've invested all of this time, all these resources, all this money into creating this massive player base, right? Because at the end of the day, while the guys who publish Fortnite do this incredible work on it, Sony creates the infrastructure that lets all of these online servers run. Yeah, that's Sony's stuff. And even if the publishing company has, you know, people doing that, that is Sony making a lot of effort to make that happen. Yeah, the if you have 70 million players who use your system to play this game that they love, who all of a sudden just get wrecked by someone with a keyboard and mouse, like, who in their right mind would do that to their install base? It is just... And also, why would you make a concerted effort to encourage people, or even just say to people, hey, you can buy this game on other consoles too? Why are you going to help your competition? Why are you going to help Nintendo and Xbox, Microsoft? Like, doesn't make sense. Like, who in their right mind would do that to themselves on purpose?
That's an interesting argument you bring about how PC players would have an unfair advantage, and considering games like Fortnite are all about competition and playing, I can see the value of not playing against PC players. It gets a little bit different though when you think about other console players though.
Oh yeah.
Because they obviously suffer from the same limitations you do. And I guess it comes down to the fine act of juggling. On one end, yeah, it's like, you've made a Fortnite account with us on PS4. We don't want you playing the game on another console. And as angry as you are right now with us that there isn't crossplay, you've invested and spent money on your account. So you're going to make noise. By the end of the day, you're going to come back to Sony. You're not going to leave us because you've invested. So it's a little bit of a dirty tactic in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
Although effective.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, it sucks. You can't take your account elsewhere, play elsewhere. They're not playing nice. That's a fact. Oh, yeah. But does the end result mean those that have spent hundreds of dollars in in-game purchases or however that works, are they going to start a new file on the Switch or on the Xbox One, start from scratch and lose everything they spent money on? Probably not. Yeah. They're probably going to stick with the PS4 version. And also, the sort of... Oh, it is the official response that Sony has given. Actually, no. It isn't from Sony itself, but like a former CEO or former Sony high-positioned employee or whatever, right, commented on the whole shebackle. And he reckons that it just comes down to money, because to enable crossplay, it costs money. And his argument is, why would, basically what you said, why would you invest in spending that money?
Yeah.
It's like, if the others want to play nice, fine, but we have our user base. There's more than enough of us. You can play with us. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like, I understand the arguments for and against. I'm not invested in the game enough to care. I care for those it obviously affects, but I'm not one of those that is affected by this.
Yeah. And people who are listening to this, don't take me the wrong way. It's not like I'm sitting there going, Sony's great for doing this or anything like that. I'm actually of the opinion that it'd be great if they would allow crossplay. But, you know, when you look at it, it's just like, why on earth?
There's two sides to the coin. Like, we can't just pretend there's always one. There is two, and we should objectively look at both sides.
Absolutely.
Now, it's, yeah, crossplay would be cool, but Sony's probably going to make a lot more money through this game by not playing nice.
Yeah, and Sony, by having the player base, the install base that it has done more for the actual game itself than any other platform combined. It has to be so, like 70 million players. That is ridiculous.
Well, that's, yes, 70 million potential. Like, that's how many people own a PS4. Obviously, you know, not every single PS4 owner has Fortnite, but the PS4 is the leading home console brand by far. Yeah. The Switch version already has like 2.1 million downloads or something.
That's really good.
Keeping in mind, like, E3 was like just a week or something
ago. Yeah, that's really good.
Like, it was not long at all. And you already have millions. So, yeah, look, I appreciate you bringing this up, because it is something that's going on and a lot of people are talking about it. And I guess Sony will know their plans going forward with the next online juggernaut, because they've made their decision and they've put their foot down. They're like, right, we're not backing up on it. But you don't know behind the scenes if they're like, oh, hey, guys, the next time we take on a massive online multiplayer game, we should make it cross-play. But, you know, we don't need to tell all the Fortnite fans that yet.
Well, yeah.
Or whatever.
But the other thing is that with Fortnite being such a popular game and Sony being... I guess it's fair to call it the premier console. If you've spent $300, $400, $500, $600, however much it costs wherever you're from, on an expensive piece of hardware like that, I guess it makes sense that you want the developer to ensure that your investment doesn't lose its value by being pointless. Because I can imagine that people who bought an Xbox One early, with the gift of hindsight, that same amount of money that they spent back then, they haven't kept as much as their investment as a PlayStation owner, because PS4 is higher. It's just valued more. Things lose value over time, but you wouldn't say that an Xbox is worth as much down the line as a PlayStation, just because there's more going on with the PlayStation than the Xbox.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I think it all comes down to everyone's different preferences.
Oh, sure.
Like, I'm sure there's Xbox fans, Microsoft fans, I should say, stand by their console, and good on
exactly.
them. And PS4 fans, Switch fans, everyone doing their own thing. Yeah. But the one thing which I think everyone can agree on is the larger the user base is, the more developers you attract, the more variety of games. And at the moment, Sony is on the top of that.
Yeah.
The PS4 has outsold more than Microsoft's console, more than the Switch. And as a result, they have a whole bunch of exclusives. They get pretty much every third-party game. Games typically run better on the PS4, not including the latest upgraded version of Microsoft console, like the Xbox One X. That's technically the most powerful console. But the PS4 has the most games and attracts the best developers. We'll talk about this another time, but just briefly, The Last of Us 2. If you haven't seen the gameplay trailer of that, go see it and then just be immediately disappointed with any and every other game you ever play ever again. like the animation quality is film-like. Like, it is truly like the next step, and that's on Sony's console. And that only went to Sony's console, obviously because of their long-running relationship with Naughty Dog, but because it's the best-seller. Yeah.
And
like,
brand is important. Brands are powerful. Like our lives are dominated by them just about. And if you've got a well-regarded, powerful brand, it pays dividends, man. It pays so much.
Oh, loyalty is the best one, because let's be honest, in life you just want to make less decisions and you want to be looked after. When you have trust with the brand, that's one less decision you need to make. It's like, oh, there's like five consoles out, which one do I get? Or in the past, Sony has looked after me.
Yeah.
In the past, I've gotten these exclusives, and that's how like Nintendo fans feel as well. Oh, in the past, I have loved every Zelda and every Mario. And dang it, I will not miss out on the next Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And Microsoft has the Halo series and Gears of War and so forth. So brand is everything. And that's something which Microsoft has actually acknowledged through this year's E3, which I think we'll talk about next time. But I think I would like to actually give them an applause, because how many times have we called them out on the show saying, hey, pick up your game? And by that, we mean make it actually about games. And I think this year's E3 was the first time Microsoft is like, you know what? Let's talk games. Well, we're not going to discuss hardware that much or anything like that. Here's our plans and the groundwork. And I think they've done a thing.
It's very pleasing.
Anyways, I think we'll wrap things up here just to keep things nice and tidy. Jamel, thank you so much for joining us once again. I don't know what I'll do without you.
Ah, George. Besides Jay, you're one of my oldest best friends. You'd be lost without me, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm glad you're being humble about all this. I was worried that you would. I was worried that it would be a bit too much to take in, and you've been humble. I appreciate it. But seriously, thanks for joining, and to our listeners as well. We will we'll talk to you straight after this podcast on Positive Gaming Space, our Facebook group, which grows every single day. It just astonishes me every time I open up my Facebook account. Member request. So love it that I used to spread the word. I used to telling your friends. Until next time, keep playing games and don't run out of lives. And yes, I did just steal that from Jamel.
That's okay, because
long-time listeners are like, wait, something's not right. The words were right, but no, bad George.
Stole my line. No, that's fine.
Awesome. Until next time, have a great day.